Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, which is where Kaylee just read from. That's where we'll be looking today. And as we do, I want to share with you some thoughts. This actually came from something I saw related to a children's message. The title was, Rules Are Cool or Rules Are Cruel. I don't know if you can hear the difference or not. Rules are cool or rules are cruel. So, I'll start by asking, raise your hand really quick if you like rules. Brian and Robert. And then a few more. Now I want to play the I Wonder game, and I think many more of you will be agreeing with Brian and Robert and Ms. Giles and Sabrina and the few others that raised our hand and what you thought. I'm going to mention a few examples. One, in our country, we actually have a lot of rules about food. Did you know that? Particularly if you go to a restaurant. There are rules about how clean things have to be, about how food has to be prepared, about the people that are preparing it, what they have to do, how they have to act, how they have to take care of themselves, all of that. And do you think they like all of those rules they have to abide by? I think some of them would probably even say, this is costing us more time and money. We can't be creative. We can't do what we want to. But do you think you'd really want to go to a place, a restaurant, that didn't have to abide by any rules when it came to preparing your food? I saw several heads shaking. Well, that's one example. How about sports? I watched a ball game last night. I'm not going to say anything about the outcome of it just because I'm not going to. But there were some plays there. And there was one play in particular right at the goal line where the ref made a call and somebody else on the team disagreed with the call and they had to go back and they had to review it and they had spent some time figuring out. And some people might be thinking, well, why can't they just get on with the game? What difference does that make anyway? It wasn't but half an inch. Alvin chuckled. Half an inch can make a big difference. And rules, that rule was there, and it was something that everybody understood needed to be abided by. But then there's another one. How about driving? We have any new drivers? If you've been started driving within the past 2 years, raise your hand. All right, we got a few. All right. Would life be simpler if you didn't have to abide by listening to all those rules that people said? And you didn't have to worry about a cop coming and getting on your case for it, and you could just drive around? They're shaking, uh-huh. Well, what do you really think it would be like if we didn't have rules and everybody could drive as fast as they wanted to, or as slow as they wanted to, or stop whenever they wanted to, or turn around whenever they wanted to, or go wherever they wanted to, didn't have to pay attention to any lights? I don't think that would turn out to be the way we really want it. So a lot of times we think we don't want rules. We think rules get in the way. We just think we don't like rules. But when it really comes down to it, we have to admit Brian and Robert are probably right. Rules that are created for the right reasons and the right way make our life more what it should be. Well, that's leading into what I want to share from Scripture today, talking about the Ten Commandments. And just really quickly before I get into that, I don't feel like I can ignore it. There's been a lot of political stuff in the news recently about the Ten Commandments, the display of the Ten Commandments, and so I feel a need to comment on that. I'm not going to make a political statement except to say there is a time for us to stand for what God calls us to stand for. But there's a caveat that goes along with that. When we're standing for what God calls us to stand for, do we stand in a way that reflects Christ? Or do we stand in a way that it makes it just about our own agenda or about being in opposition to someone that has a different point of view than ours? Because to me, that makes a big difference, and I think it does to God's too. Are we standing because of God's leading and in the way that God leads? And in terms of the Ten Commandments, this is the way I might summarize that. Are we really viewing the Ten Commandments as some sacred decorations, or are the Ten Commandments an example of deeds that God desires us to be acting out on a daily basis? And whichever way we embrace that, I think leads to the one I said before in terms of how we're responding. Because we can fall into the trap of treating those Ten Commandments simply as sacred decorations more than God's instructions for the way we should live. So if you want to get involved in thinking about defending and where Ten Commandments are supposed to be and not be, I think that could be a good thing as long as you're allowing God to be a part of that every step of the way, instead of us carrying our own agendas and putting it first. That's enough for that this morning. So I want to move on, and as we're going to look briefly at all Ten Commandments, but I want to separate them. You may have heard this before, but the Ten Commandments are actually separated, can be separated into two different categories. Commandments 1 through 4 are about our relationship with God. In fact, all Ten Commandments, and I would like to say, we focus sometimes, and I even started on it, but want to finish it up, that I hope you're going to realize that it's not so much about rules. The Ten Commandments are not to be viewed as rules. The Ten Commandments are about how to live in relationship with God and others most effectively. So the first four commandments are about our relationship with God. The first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means nothing is to have priority over God. Anything that has more priority in your life, more meaning, more of your devotion than God, is taking precedence over God. And that doesn't mean it's bad things. We've heard things like God, money can be our God and fame can be our God, and those things are true, but there are good things in life that can be our God too. Family can be your God. Your job can be your God. Now, that doesn't mean that family isn't important. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to take care of your family. But if you're going to be the person God wants you to be in your family, God's got to be more important than your family is. And then God helps you to be the family person He wants you to be. If your family is more important than God, the priorities are out of whack. Then the second one, thou shalt not make for yourself an idol. I had to spend a little time on this one, and I knew there was a difference. But when you think about it, what's the difference in Commandment 1 and Commandment 2? The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one is, thou shalt not make for yourself an idol. What's the difference? As I thought about it and tried to simplify it, I think it comes down to this. The first one is to not have any other god other than God Almighty. The second one, and I think it can be exemplified in Exodus chapter 32, where Aaron led the people in building a golden calf. But then at the end of that, they were to worship the golden calf in the name of the Lord. The problem was, and why God didn't like it, was because they were bowing down before the calf itself to acknowledge God. We don't do that. We don't create some image, because what happens is that image, that thing, becomes more important than God Himself. So we've got to be very careful about that. There are things, even in worship sometimes, we get so caught up in our worship and what's important in our worship and the things in our worship and the style in our worship, that those can become the image that we worship more than God Himself. So that was the second one. The third one, thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord your God. I think most of us could assume what that means. It means don't use profanity, don't take the Lord's name in vain. This is the way I summarize it. Our words should reflect a relationship with God that represents Him sincerely, accurately, and respectfully. So we don't just flippantly use God's name in conversation throughout the day. And we can have a tendency to do that. I want you to think for a minute, because I'll come back to this at the end, but there are times when we categorize different, and even if we don't say it, because we know it doesn't sound good to say it, but we categorize the Ten Commandments as the one that are more important and least important. And you know, if every once in a while God's name just slips in a place it shouldn't be, it's not that big a deal, is it? It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really make that much big a difference. It's in the same list of commandments as thou shalt not murder. You think God just kind of slipped one in there for the heck of it that really wasn't that important? There's a reason it's important, and it's not just because of a word slipping. It's because if that's happening, that is a defining point of what our relationship with God is about. We don't use words like that if God is important in the way God is supposed to be in our lives. And not only is it about us, we'll get to some others, but we're reflecting who we believe God is. And at times, we're calling on God and misusing God's name. It's blatantly calling on for our own benefit. And if you're not understanding exactly, I'm gonna say this, and I'm going to say it carefully. There are times that we will call God's damnation upon someone else out of anger and hatred and frustration. And that is a sin. It's not just some words that come out and saying it in a more powerful way. And it reflects something of our relationship with God. The fourth, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And that's about more, much more than coming into a church and sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. The Sabbath day is about worshiping God. And I think we all know what that is. And yes, you can come and worship God on a Sunday morning in church. You can also come to church, sit in a pew, and not worship God one bit. It has to do with where you are yourself and how you're embracing God. But it's not just about worship. If, as you study the Scriptures and seek to understand what Sabbath is about, it's also a day of rest. And we are to rest in Christ. Because you know, if we take time to truly rest and spend time with God, it puts us in a different place. We open ourselves up to be touched by God, to be moved by God, to receive from God in a way that we aren't going to throughout the week when we're doing our daily routine. There's a reason God's asked us to set that time aside, and when we do that, it's out of that rest, out of that weekly Sabbath, that then we're able to better function the way God calls us to function. It's about rest. I want to compare it to sleeping. Have any of you ever gone 24 hours without sleeping? Raise your hand. If you've gone 48 hours without sleeping, keep them up. If you've gone 72 hours without sleeping, keep them up. Thank goodness. There's several of you that went 48 hours without sleep. What were you like after that 48 hours? You were not yourself. You were not able to function the way you were created to function. God created us to rest. So we're supposed to have sleep, but not only are we supposed to have sleep, we're supposed to have a Sabbath that is talking about rest from our daily routine. And if we go again and again and again and we don't have that Sabbath, it impacts our relationship with God and who we are, just like it does when we go days without sleeping. We cannot function. We cannot be the people God calls us to be. And that's why God made it a commandment. Not simply because He wanted us to have good church attendance. It's about our relationship with God. And we can't function in our jobs. We can't function with our families. We can't function with our children. We can't function in our day-to-day routine if we don't set aside time to allow God to be the one that speaks to us in terms of how we're supposed to prioritize, how we're supposed to invest, how we're supposed to respond to the things that we're going to face from day to day. God doesn't just ask. God commands us to have a Sabbath. So those are the first four commandments about our relationship with God. The next six are about our relationship with each other. Number five, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say agree with your father and your mother. It says honor your father and your mother. And as I studied, prayed on, looked into this one, there's honoring and agreeing are two different things. And there are some people that have not only disagreed, but have been mistreated by parents, have been abandoned by parents, have been abused by parents. So I had to be honest about this one too. How? Because it doesn't say that we don't have to honor those parents. So what does that look like? What does that mean? What does God want us to do with that? So as best I can understand, we can still honor someone as a parent for the life God gave us through that parent. And part of honoring means forgiving. Part of honoring means acknowledging truthfully the shortcomings. But as we honor that relationship, and sometimes we just have to ask God, God, how am I supposed to do this? And allow God to help you with that, because I haven't been there. I can't tell you that. I can't answer that question in a way that probably makes sense to you, but God can. But what I do believe is that if we're able to do that and honor in the way God wants us to, it helps us move more to the place God desires us to be and helps deal with some of the baggage from stuff that God probably never intended us to. So honoring in no way affirms something that a mother or a father did outside of the will of God. But it acknowledges God's ability to be in the midst of that relationship, that it's able to be blessed and move forward in a journey in the direction He desires it to be. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. This one we understand. This is the one that when we start talking about Ten Commandments, I've got that one down. We tend to say that. And this is all about the fact that life has value. And that seems to be more true now than it had been in Old Testament times. But nowadays, I'm beginning to wonder. Moving on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God has guidelines for the marriage relationship. And this is an obvious one. There's more in Scripture. A lot of times we allow our emotions and other things just to carry us away. But we need to allow God to be the one to lead and guide us. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I ain't never robbed a bank. You ever been to a cashier and they gave you too much change and you didn't realize it till you were walking out? And you had to decide whether you were going to keep that money that really wasn't yours, or whether you were going to go to the trouble to go back and have to stop these other people in line, and it's only a dollar. It's just really not worth my time, and it's probably going to be more trouble than it's worth. It's stealing. Big or little, thou shalt not steal. Because I tell you, whether it's me, whether it's my child, if my child did something that it took a nickel from somebody, that nickel isn't going to amount to a hill of beans to that person, but it could ruin my child's life. Because if they get from me that that's okay, a nickel can lead to a quarter, can lead to a dollar, can lead to $500. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false testimony. Don't say things about others that aren't true. And you know, sometimes we just like to get caught up in stuff. We like to be in the know. We don't know if it's true or not, but somebody else said it. So if they said it, I'm just repeating it. That doesn't mean I didn't say something that wasn't true. Yes, it does. We don't need to. Gossip is a sin too. We are to, what comes from our mouth is to be truth. We're not to bear false witness. It destroys people. It destroys the body. We talked about unity last week. It breaks unity. We don't do it. Number 10, thou shalt not covet. Don't want what other things have just because. And we live in a world where we see it on TV. We get these things on our phone that pop up that tell us we need it. Our life is going to be better. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better. You go into a store and they have these displays strategically. And I'm sure Stephen can tell us. There's a reason that certain places are in food line at certain places, because they know that the majority of the people are going to go to get the milk. Where is the milk in the grocery store? Where is the milk? All the way in the back. You have to walk past everything else to get to it. That's because as you go back, you're going to be thinking about it. And it's a grocery store. Sure, you need food. Do you need all the stuff that's in that grocery cart by the time you get back there? And that's just the easy example. It's just food, yes. But that's not just, I just thought of food line because I was looking at Stephen. But that's true all across the board. In the way I work, we become convinced we need things that we don't really need. These commandments, when taken to heart, will change our relationship with God and our relationship with those that are around us. And you know, the disciples asked Jesus a question: what is the greatest commandment? And this is what was said several places in the gospel: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Guess what that's about? The first four commandments. Because that's about our relationship with God. And if you do that, you're going to have all first four commandments down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Then the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's assuming you love yourself. But if you love God and understand how much God loves you, you're going to love yourself. But you're supposed to love others the same. And if you do that, you're going to follow those commandments. Now listen, don't use it as a cop-out. Because it sounds much easier and nicer to summarize the Ten Commandments with these two verses by saying, all I got to do is love God and love my neighbor and I got it covered. Yes. But there's a reason the specifics are in the Bible, because a lot of times we like to generalize and feel good about ourselves when there's really some details we need to pay attention to. So, have you fallen into that trap of considering some of the commandments just a little bit more important than the others? If you really think about them, are there certain places God wants you to work in your life in terms of where those commandments are nudging you right now? Do you tend to pick or choose, or to what degree those commandments are really commandments? You know, they aren't the 10 suggestions. They're the 10 commandments. There's no wiggle room. Too often, as Christians, we misinterpret, misuse, and communicate inappropriately the Ten Commandments. For ourselves, at times, we're trying too hard to live a life of rules instead of a relationship. We want to get things right, and so we take these rules and say, if I just get it all done, then it's going to be okay. And that tends to be a personality type that likes the checklist. If I can just get it all done, then everything's going to be right. The Ten Commandments are not there for us to check off as a list of rules. The Ten Commandments are there to help us better understand the relationship God desires us to have with Him and with others. So that's the first thing. We've got to understand our approach. Then the other thing, we come across as promoting a God who is all about following the rules instead of a God who loves, cares, and promises a life of hope and purpose. So you see, remember when I said what I did at the beginning about a lot of times it depends on how we go about talking about the Ten Commandments and how important they are and where they should be displayed. If we are so big on having those list of rules up that we expect everybody else to abide by, and that's all we're living and talking about, we're not representing God the way God's supposed to be represented, because God loves people. And God wants them to follow those rules, not to make their lives miserable, but to enable them to have a relationship. But if we start off talking about the rules, there's no attraction to the God who loves them. We need to be that example. We need to be reaching out. We don't need to be accusing. We need to be embracing. And as we embrace, we help them to better understand what it means to live the life God's called us to live and the blessings that come along with that. So, the Ten Commandments, if you have attended church on any kind of regular basis, they're probably something you're familiar with and have heard about. Are they truly a part of your everyday life? Do they reflect your relationship with God? Do they reflect your relationship with others? If not, will you consider what God may be saying today and respond as God would lead? I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward, and we're going to have an invitation song. And I'll be here to receive. Maybe in the midst of what's happened today, you've understood that there's a bigger commitment you have to make, and it's that commitment just to have a relationship with God. I'd love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that. Maybe there's some of those commandments that have stirred something about your relationship with God or about your relationship with others that you've neglected. I'm very willing to pray with you about that too. And that's the thing about the commandments. It's not simply a rule you have to do. God wants to be a part of helping you embrace those relationships. I don't expect it to always be easy. It's not easy for me. But it's worth it. So the altar's open. I'm available to pray. If God leads you to come forward, please do. But God's leading and inviting everyone of us to take a step in one way or another. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 604, Come All Christians Be Committed.